Welcome and thank you for joining us for today's Dealer On webinar, how to crush mediocrity in your sales force. We're going to get to that. My name is Eliana Raggio and I'll be your moderator today. And today's webinar is being presented by Dealer On. For anyone who isn't familiar with Dealer On, well, we're an award-winning website development company and digital agency, best known for our amazing SEO, the absolute best customer service, and the highest converting website designs in the industry, including the award-winning Chameleon Responsive Website Platform. We're so committed to lead conversion, optimization, and customer service that Dealer On is still the only company in the industry that offers a money-back lead guarantee program. So does your website company guarantee you a 50% lift in leads or your money back? Well, maybe you should check us out at our gorgeous brand new Dealer On website at DealerOn.com. And Dealer On is going to be exhibiting and presenting at the upcoming NADA convention in Las Vegas at the end of March. So if you're going to be there, you got to stop by booth 6626N. We have an awesome booth. You got to see it. You're not going to want to miss it. And I'm going to be there, and I'd love to meet you. So please stop by. And while you're getting your NADA on, please check out the speaking sessions from these Dealer On executives. We have an amazing show in store for you today. We're very pleased to have the one and only Lisa Copeland as our presenter today. Lisa Copeland is the managing partner of Fiat of Austin, and she's the co-founder of Crushing It Academy, an online training platform committed to helping professionals crush it in every aspect of their life and their business. As a member of the National Chrysler Dealer Council, Lisa represents the North American pulse of the Fiat brand. In 2012, Lisa was named one of the 5 most powerful women in Austin by the Austin Business Journal, and then she raised the bar on North American Fiat sales. Lisa was also listed as one of the top 100 women in automotive by Automotive News, and most recently honored by Chrysler Group CEO Sergio Marchionne for her record-breaking Fiat 500 sales. Under Lisa's management, Fiat of Austin became the first Fiat dealership in North America to sell 100 Fiat 500s in a single month. When congratulating Lisa in person, Marchionne said of Lisa's renowned sales and leadership, "Lisa is also an incredible salesperson herself, an excellent manager, and a dynamic leader. And what she and her team have achieved here at the Fiat of Austin store is simply unprecedented. With over 25 years of unparalleled success, Lisa Copeland is one of the most respected people in the automotive industry today, a brilliant, inspirational, and powerful presenter, and a pioneer for women in the car biz. She can be reached at lisa@crushingitacademy.com. And Lisa Copeland will also be speaking at the NADA convention on a special NADA panel with Jody DeVere, Joni Stuker, Sherry Waters, and Craig Lockhart, where they're going to be discussing how to create a culture to win with women. You don't want to miss it, so make sure you catch them in action. Now, during the presentation, if you have any questions, please use the question feature located on the corner of your screen to submit them. At the end of the presentation, we'll answer those questions of general interest. If we're unable to get to your question live, we're going to try to respond by email later today. Also, don't forget, a link to download a copy of this webinar recording will also be emailed to you later today for your reference, and please feel free to share it with your friends and colleagues. Oh, and guess what? Our good friends at Crushing It Academy, they're giving away some amazing prizes today on the webinar. First, 2 of you lucky webinar attendees are going to be winning a Crushing It t-shirt and hat to remind you that every single day it's your responsibility to crush it in business and in life. And then 1 of you lucky webinar attendees will win an autographed copy of Lisa's newest book, Crushing Mediocrity. It's going to be due out this summer, but you have to be on the live broadcast to win it. So stay tuned. You could be one of those people winning one of these sweet prizes today. Also, at the conclusion of this webinar, you're going to receive a short survey. So fill it out, because we're always looking for quality feedback from our audience. Today, we're going to randomly select a couple of people from all those completed surveys to also win some Google prizes. And hey, do you tweet much? We hope you do. We'd love to see what you have to say about today's presentation, so please tag us in it. You can use hashtag DealerOnWebby. I'm at Eliana Raggio. You can also hit up Lisa Copeland at Lisa C. Copeland. We look forward to seeing what you're saying. So let's get started. Let's learn how to crush mediocrity. And I see you changed a little bit up on me, Lisa. How to crush sales records and build a world-class culture. Lisa Copeland, I can't tell you how thrilled I am to have you here. Thank you so much for doing this today.
Well, thank you for having me. And, you know, I always have to change it up. You know, that's just what I do. So, First thing I want to do is I just want to say thank you to everybody out there in the automotive industry that tuned in today. I'm so grateful that you would take the time to listen to what I have to say. And, you know, and I'm going to talk to you guys about what has helped us be so successful as an organization. And I think we're going to take some twists and turns that are pretty unexpected. So if you're on here today wanting to get some traditional sales tips, you might want to tune out now because I'm going to show you how to do it and do it big and crush it and love what you do every single day. So I've got three objectives today that I want to try to, I'm going to talk you through, and hopefully you guys are going to walk away with something that you can take back to your company, your organization, so you can crush it too. So the first objective of today's webinar is examining your workplace culture for potential recalls. I had to use the word recall, right, since we're all living in the recall world right now in the automotive industry. But, you know, what is it in your workplace that you can do to change the culture? So that's going to be one of the things we talk about today. And then we're going to talk about defining your personal legacy. And I'm going to get into that a little bit later. But you know what? Everybody out there, all you've got in your job and in your life is what and who you are and what you stand for. So I'm going to help you, and I'm going to give you some tips today on how to define your personal legacy. And then last is building your professional mission statement. How do you know where you're going? How do people know what you stand for? How do you get that next job, that next promotion, without knowing what you stand for and how you're going to get there? So there's a lot of information to cover in the next 45 minutes or 40 minutes, but I'm going to try to get through it all. So it's all about the culture. So I'm going to give you guys just a little story from 2010. I read a book that was called Delivering Happiness, and it was written by Tony Hsieh, the founder of Zappos. And what it was the story of how this shoe company, Zappos, which I know all of you have heard, built their culture. But what I liked the best about it was is that they were launching a new brand to the U.S., which was an online shoe business, right? So that was not the norm at the time. Nobody had ever done it. It talked about the pitfalls. It talked about the customers. It talked about disappointment. But the main thing it really talked about was how do you build a culture that can sustain? Because I am the first one to tell you the toughest thing in the world is to build a brand. Number two, to launch a brand. And in the case of Fiat of Austin, to relaunch a brand that left the United States. And it left under, you know, questionably, you know, fix it again, Tony. So I really went outside of the automotive space when we decided to take on the mission of launching Fiat back to the USA. And so I got all encapsulated in this book of Delivering Happiness. And what I walked away from the book and after I read it, and when I did the proposal to the Chrysler Corporation at the time, I said, we have got to do things differently in the automotive space. We have got to define what it looks like to revolutionize the auto industry. Because, you see, you can't bring an old product back to market if you're going to try to use the old way to launch something. It's got to be aspirational and inspirational and all of those things. And what I saw with Zappos was all of that. And I saw a team spirit because I'll tell you, it's tough. So if you look at my slide, it's all about culture. It's about collaboration, control, cultivation, which we'll talk about in a little while, and competence. So as you're building your team that's out there, right, you've got to have these four core competencies to build the team that can build the culture that it takes to take your business and your game to the next level. So how do you create a great culture within your organization? And I know I've got vendors on the phone. I know I've got people in sales. I've got general managers. We have dealer principals. But I believe to have a world-class sales organization that is truly committed to crushing it, it doesn't happen without your people. Because your internal culture defines what your sales, your external culture will be. So number one, it's all about passion and authenticity. That fuels the culture in the front and the back of the house. So we say something at Fiat of Austin. I've got my front of the house, okay? That's our sales team. That's my receptionist. Those are our customer-facing employees. But how about that back of the house? How about that accounting office? How about those techs? How about the porters who have to work in the cold and in the rain? Well, they're part of our team, too. So one of the things that you've really got to build is that we are each other's internal customer. So the way that we treat it here is that when, you know, I am the internal customer, the sales department is the internal customer of the service department. So I let my service manager know, your biggest customer is my used car manager, and you are to treat him as such. He's not an adversary, he's your biggest customer. And then all of a sudden, the walls start to break down, and they start working together, and they're not questioning the bills and this, that, and the other. So that's critical. Customers respond favorably to a positive culture. I cannot emphasize that enough. And I wish I would have taken a picture of our culture wall here, stolen from Zappos. But we have hashtags. We deliver happiness. And if you look at anything of Fiat of Austin's, I have it on the walls. I have it in the bathrooms. I have it in the service department. I have it in the finance department. And our customers write it on the walls. You know, and that's what they do at Zappos. What better testimony than the customers writing it on the walls? And I know some people are going, well, Lisa, that's pretty obvious. But I'm going to tell you why else we write it on the walls. I want that customer to hold me accountable. I want that customer to hold my team accountable. I want my porter to hold me accountable. So I have found that when you write it on the walls and you say it out loud, and we'll talk about that in a little bit, you're held to a different accountability within your business and to the universe. Because I can't tell you how many times I've had a customer walk in my office and say, I'm not happy. And you've written it on the walls, and I'm never going to come back here again. And what I know is that that customer would have probably just left unhappy, and I would have never seen that customer again. But now that I hold everybody to that accountability within our culture, I have the opportunity to make that customer happy. Does it always happen? No, but I will tell you, probably 90% of the time, I am able to get involved, and I'm able to fix that customer's concern, turn them around, and retain that customer. And we all know how hard it is to retain a customer. Number two, when it's written on the walls, when a car comes back up from make ready, and the salesperson says to the sales manager, gosh, I don't think this car's clean enough. I don't think it looks good. And the sales manager's here know to say, do you think it'll deliver happiness to our customer? If the answer is no, then the car goes back. So it's the easiest thing in the world to manage to. What is that core belief or value that you can instill in your organization that will work with your internal customers, which is your employees, and your external customers? That's how you build a culture. So in order to build a great culture, you must be willing to examine every area of your organization and make adjustments, even if they're not popular. So I'll tell you guys what I did, and boy, was it an eye-opener. I mean, I thought we were pretty cool, you know? We won Best Workplace Award with Automotive News in 13 and in 15, and I had this really cool young sales staff, and I just really thought we were pretty awesome, I won't lie. And when we moved into our new building 2 years ago, in fact, it was 2 years ago Monday, the culture changed, which I was concerned about because we were coming out of a shopping center in a very aspirational part of town, and we were moving into a traditional setting, which was a car dealership, right? That's what happens with success. You've got to expand. And so I thought everything was great, but I want to tell the leaders out there, you have to be careful what you sell your people. See, I sold my entire sales team car dealer. We weren't like those guys up and down the motor mile. We were in the domain. We were cool. We were Fiat. We were different. We were revolutionizing the auto industry. And then I brought that team into a traditional setting. I had to double the staff. I had to open a service department. So now all of a sudden, I had a traditional model. But what I didn't do as the leader, and I'm sharing my heart with some of you guys because I don't want anybody to make the same mistakes I did. I didn't prepare my team and tell them, hey, guess what? We're moving into this different setting, and things are going to be different, but it doesn't change the heart of the organization or the heart of the leadership. But things are going to be tougher now. You know, we're going to have to go out up the people on the lot. We're going to have to deal with service customers on the service drive. I didn't prepare my team. So fast forward 2 years ago, everything was just kind of damping down. Like I could see people were stressed out and longer hours, and it was, you know, I had doubled the staff, so they hadn't all started together. So I made a decision as the leader that I would bring everybody in. So I broke my entire team up into four meetings, and I put some from service, some from accounting, some from sales, everything, and I broke them up in four meetings. But here was the slap in the face. I wrote a survey, and I asked them some questions, and they were very pointed questions. And boy, be afraid. I mean, don't be afraid when you ask employees, and I let it be anonymous when I got the answers back. You see, because they weren't good. They were not good. And
I knew immediately.
Well, I asked them things like, tell me how you feel today about working for this organization compared to what you did a year ago for the organization. And they would say, it's not as much fun. The culture seems different. You seem more stressed out. You know, you're not as available as you used to be. You know, all of the things that I sold them on. But it was good for me, the leader. But that's why I wanted to put this in there and tell that short story, because if you truly want to incite change in your organization, you've got to ask the tough questions, number one. And number two, you've got to accept the answers. And then number three, you have to be willing to make the changes. And, you know, my feelings were hurt by the time I read through all of these. I thought, oh, my gosh, how have I failed? But you know what I learned from it more than anything is that I didn't fail. I just needed to go to the next level. So I just wanted to share that story because I think it's important. You know, so many people ask me, Lisa, how do you build the culture that you guys have at Fiat of Austin? And so I always used to love to tell the success stories, but now I also like to tell the story when, you know, I wasn't so successful at it. I lost a lot of people, and how I had to rebuild it. I think authenticity is going to help, you know, help us move forward in the auto industry. So one of the things that we are really big with here, and that I really want to encourage everybody out there, is community involvement. What is the easiest way to bring together a group of people? It's to get involved with things that matter. I mean, my gosh, we have done everything from Wounded Warriors to the Girl Scouts, breast cancer. I'm currently the chair for Go Red, the American Heart Association. But it's, you know, Pets Alive, adoption. But that is the one way that I can see building a culture within an organization. Now, for those of you who are paying attention out there, I'm going to encourage you to write down this quote. And it's my quote. It's my personal mantra. And it's not what you sell, it's what you stand for. It's not what you sell, it's what you stand for. And what I've told my sales team and what has really been our success at Fiat of Austin, let's face it, people can buy, a car is a commodity. God, I hope Mr. Marchione is not listening to this right now, but a car is a commodity. You know, people don't buy cars a lot of times. I mean, they buy it because they have a need for transportation. And so I tell my team, guys, they can buy a Kia, they can buy a Nissan, they can buy a Fiat. But you know what they're going to do? They're going to buy because they like us. They're going to buy because they know us. And they're going to buy because they trust us. So don't go out there and say that, you know, our payment's $5 less than the Kia store down the street. Go and tell them, you know what, Mr. Jones? If you do business with us, let me tell you some of the things that we do within the community. Let me tell you some of the things we stand for and some of the organizations that we support. So then that way you know that you're doing business with a dealer that cares and that will be here. You know, we're never going to run from you, Mr. Customer, because you're going to see us at everything. You're going to see us doing the 5K. You're going to see my boss, Lisa, speaking at a luncheon of 700 women with the former First Lady, Laura Bush, next Friday. We are local and we're in the community. So that's why we're asking you to buy a car from us, and it has absolutely been our ticket to success. I believe it to my very soul, and so I'm trying to give you guys some nuggets out there if maybe you're struggling and maybe you want to do things differently. And I know if you're on this webinar that you are looking for some answers, or maybe you are looking to retool some things in 2016. Because I'll tell you, I don't think business is going to be as easy as it has been in the next couple of years. I think we're going to see some corrections within the industry. So I think some really important things for organizations need to be put into place now so that you can continue success. So I just want to leave you with the question on this. What is it that you do within your organization that adds value to the community? It's critical for success.
And it looks like we're up to our very first poll question. All right, audience, we have two poll questions coming your way, and this one is the first. You'll see it on your screen now. We would love it if you would get involved in our poll questions. Let us know what's happening all around the country, actually all around the world. We do have some people that are here from overseas as well. So the question is your company or your dealership currently involved in any community projects? Please select one of the following answers. I wish they were. They don't seem very interested to do that. Of course, we're very involved in our community. We are, but it's not offered to everyone in the organization, or the company isn't, but I am personally. Once we get a majority of the votes in, we're going to close the poll and share the results. I also want to let you know, if you haven't already started tweeting out, the Twitter information is all over every slide, so don't be shy. Tweet out, and if you have a question for today's Dealer On presenter, Lisa Copeland, hey, send them in. At the end of her presentation, we will be doing a Q&A session where you can ask her whatever you want, and she's going to give you her best advice on how you can crush it. All right, we're going to get to this answer now. Lisa, are you ready for this?
Yes.
I think you're going to be very pleased with these answers. Let's close this poll and share the results. Audience, thank you so much for your votes. We really appreciate it. Okay. Only 6% of today's audience said, oh, I wish they were. 3% of today's audience said, you know what, they don't really seem very interested in doing that. But the majority, 66% of my awesome audience, said, of course, we're very involved in our community. And the remaining 25% of today's audience says, we are, but they admit it's not offered to everyone in the organization, and no one selected the last answer. Does that help you out?
Yeah, I think that's awesome. I'm so glad to see that the car dealers out there, that they're all participating in the community. I mean, those are great stats. Very happy.
They are. And audience, thank you so much. We're going to have one more poll question coming your way in a little bit, so stay tuned. Lisa?
Okay, so now what we're going to talk about is, so you know, we've talked about community. We talked about what it takes to crush it, right? What do you stand for? And now I want to talk about legacy. So when you think of a legacy, it's a quote I'm putting in the book that I'm writing, which I'll do a few little plugs for, that your legacy is not your end-of-life story. You know, it should not be what somebody's telling at your funeral. It should be your real life story. I really believe that we build our legacy every single day by the decisions that we make, both in our personal life and in our professional life. And if you go into it with that being said, I'm going to really just talk about your professional legacy. I think that your future is going to be so much brighter and bigger because every day you're managing your success path. And so I love this thing with legacy, but again, it's not your end-of-life story. It's your everyday story. So defining/redefining your legacy. So Webster's definition of legacy is something transmitted by or received from an ancestor or predecessor from the past. So I'm going to take that to car terms. How many of you out there have inherited a job, or the sales manager, or the F&I manager, and the predecessor just made it a hot mess? You are in their mess. Oh, my gosh. I've done it myself. And it's like, how did this person ever keep this job? Well, you see, that just became their legacy within your organization. And then it'll become part of your legacy, how you clean it up and how you move it forward. So I even thought about taking the word ancestor out, but just your predecessor. So we're going to talk about how you want to leave, because all of us right now, I mean, there might be people out there who are thinking about leaving their jobs and going to the next job, and that's okay. because sometimes the next job is a better job. And I'll encourage you to do that. But I want you to think about the legacy you leave at your previous job. You know, you want to be left, known as the rock star, and you want them to be sad when you're gone. So, redefining your legacy. Your most significant contribution to society is what you leave behind. And when people come to me and they tell me that it's time to move on, I always let them go because I really believe that it's probably time for them to move on. I do believe that people have a shelf life within an organization. You know, the studies show that after 5 years, sometimes people are not as effective as they used to be. And so if it's a great employee, you know, I might ask them to stay, but I really do counsel them on, you know, what is it that you're wanting to go do? And then number two, how are you going to leave your legacy within our organization? So what past mistakes do you need to deal with personally and professionally so that you can go forward positively? And I say that because I think everybody on this call, you know, possibly you've been fired from a previous job, or possibly it was unfair and you were let go. I mean, there could be all kinds of reasons why you left. You might have left the industry and now you're coming back. And so I just really want to encourage you to make sure that whatever legacy you leave, it's positive. And number two, if for some reason you left and it wasn't positive, that doesn't mean it's the end of your career. It just means that today you have to start building start building that legacy. And I'm sorry, I did not mean to hit poll question. So one of the things that I really want to encourage you guys to do is, you know, write down what are your personal core values. And there's just four questions that if you ask yourself, you could probably write it. And number one is, what is it that shapes your behavior? You know, what is it that drives you? Number two, what are you passionate about? What is it that if you didn't get a paycheck, that you would do it anyways? Number three, what is it you love to do? Like what within the auto industry that, or in your life that it's like, oh my gosh, I can't wait to go and do this. Like it makes my heart happy. And then number four is what motivates your achievements? And what is it that you're chasing? Are you chasing to be the salesperson of the month? Are you chasing that next promotion? Are you chasing to even, you know, get out of the auto industry? Here's a crazy stat. I read it from NABA. 80% of automotive sales professionals are always looking for a different job. And about 60% of those are outside of the auto industry. And I'm going to give a shout out to my girl, Amy Boehner, who's out there right now. You know, just a girl, hashtag, just a girl selling cars. Like, I know by reading her Facebook posts that she's passionate about what she does. And every day she talks about it. And she's going to be, and Miss Amy, you're going to be successful beyond your wildest dreams because you are living in your purpose and you're living in your passion. And so I'm going to share with you, when I did that exercise, what my personal statement is. And I keep it with me. And when I'm having a bad day, I read it and I reread it. But it's to live life completely, honestly, and compassionately with a healthy dose of realism mixed with the belief and passion that all things are possible if I set my mind, full attention, and heart to it. See, that's how I am. You know, I have to do something so big that I love it so much because I don't know how to do things any other way. And that's why I was so grateful when this Fiat opportunity came up, because I didn't do it so I could sell cars. I did it because I had the opportunity to launch a brand to the U.S., to put in some sales strategies and things that will truly revolutionize an industry that I love so much, but I did believe it was in need of a major overhaul. And that I could work with young people and help them see their full potential. So it was never about selling the cars. But guess what? When I loved it so much and I was so passionate about it, it was like it wasn't work. I worked 6 days a week for 3 years, didn't take a day off. I mean, it's a lot of work to build a business, build a brand, build dealerships. But you know what? I loved it every single day and it fueled me. I never felt like I was going to work. So I want to encourage everybody out there that write those questions down and text me or email me if you want me to give them to you. But make your own personal mission statement. Write your legacy statement. because I've got this statement everywhere, and I've told my friends and my husband and anybody else that I want that read at my funeral. I want people to know every single day who Lisa Copeland really is and what drove her. So that's just me giving you guys some advice, because this is a tough business, and we work really, really hard, and we work long hours. But you know what? There are great rewards to be had also. I've been very blessed. I'm very grateful for my automotive career, but it hasn't been without a lot of lumps and bruises and personal sacrifices. So now we will go to the poll question.
That sounds like a great idea. All right, audience, we only have this last poll question for you, and then we have some more awesomeness from Lisa Copeland. So if you wouldn't mind, please fill out this answer. And what we're asking is that you be honest. Now, this is completely, no one else is going to see. No one's going to know what you put in here. It's completely anonymous. So please answer it honestly. We want to know, what motivates you to get up in the morning and come to work every day? Please select one of the following answers. My paycheck. Because I love what I do. I have no other choice. I got to pay the bills. I'm building a solid career path within the auto industry. Or McDonald's isn't hiring right now. So that's what I do. All right. So once we get a majority of the votes in, we're going to close the poll and share the results. So what motivates you to get up in the morning and come to work every day? And by the way, I wanted you to know, the way Lisa and I met was actually at the Women in Automotive Conference, and it was spectacular, and she was one of the keynote speakers, and she just floored me with her presentation. So I knew I had to bring her so that she could talk to all of you out there today. I hope you're enjoying the show. Oh, and by the way, Lisa, Amy is totally blushing right now. Completely, utterly blushing.
I'm so proud of that girl. I'm so proud of you, girl. I'm going to watch your career. I'm going to watch you crush glass ceilings, because you are on track.
I love it. All right, audience, thank you so much for your votes. If you're ready, Lisa, I'm going to share these results with you, and I think they're pretty startling.
Uh-oh, let's hear them.
All right, here we go. We're closing. Closing this, sharing the results, and Amy said, ha, crushing them in my heels. Good job.
You go, girl.
All right, so 3% of today's audience admit it is just for the paycheck. The majority, though, 41%, they think, they're out there telling us it's because they really love what they do. They love it.
Good.
41%, that's awesome. 17%. They're out there. They said they have no choice. They got to pay the bills. This is the job they have. They're going and waking up every day and doing it. Now, another large portion of today's audience, 31%, so almost a third, says that they're building a solid career path within the auto industry. And then the remaining 7% said, yeah, McDonald's isn't hiring right now, so I go to work at the dealership. All right, Lisa, maybe some of them were joking, but I think most of them gave a very honest response. Is this what you were expecting? Or do you feel that most people in the auto industry really just don't love what they do? Maybe it's too stressful. I don't know.
You know, I'm lucky, because I'm able to go around the country and speak. And I'm going to say a lot of them don't love what they do, because there isn't an overarching reason for why they do it. They come, they go to the dealership, they sell cars, but they don't have that overarching, what drives them. And it's just to get a paycheck. And that's what I want to encourage people to do. And that's one of the reasons we wrote this book, is to help you guys define what are those things that will make you have job satisfaction, that will help you go to the next level. But most importantly, to make you happy. This is a short life that we live. And I want people to be satisfied, and I want them to be happy. But the automotive industry is 10% of the gross national product of the United States. I mean, it is a thriving industry that has no boundaries. You don't have to have a certain degree. You don't have to have a certain pedigree. It's for men. It's for women. It's for Hispanics, African Americans. It knows no boundaries. So therefore, you can go as far as you want to go. If you're excellent in what you do, if you love what you do, and that's why I love the auto industry. I love it, and I love the Amys of the world.
So here's, maybe some people got in and they loved it at first, Is there a way to regain that love again? Can you, is there a way people can fall back in love with their job?
Or I'm going to say this out loud. Maybe they're not working for the right company. You know, maybe do some research out there. I mean, like, you know, Automotive News publishes the Best Workplace Awards. I've got some really cool friends around the country. My friend Adam Ahrens, I don't know if he's on, but he's a Subaru dealer in the Northeast. He's got a great culture. So if you anybody out there lives in the Northeast, go to work for Adam Ahrens. My good friend Chop Tobin in Las Vegas. I mean, he's the king of cars, for God's sakes. He is fun, and, you know, they have a crazy fun culture. So there's lots of great dealerships and dealer groups around the country. Go find one to plug into that you feel that you're connected and that they have fun. Because we work a lot, and if it's not fun, you got to do something different.
You know, it's so funny that you say that. I was working for this company before DealerOn, and I thought I was happy. I thought I was challenged, and I was where I was supposed to be. And then I got laid off. And then I found my way to DealerOn, and I can tell you right now, I am very happy at DealerOn. So while it didn't look good at that point, I mean, it's night and day. When you find the right place with the culture that suits you and, you know, bosses who treat you right or whatever, I mean, gosh, what a difference. It was like the best decision I ever made was to change jobs. I'm not telling anyone out there to go change jobs. I'm just telling you my story.
Well, I am telling every one of you out there that you can change your job. If you are not happy and you're not fulfilled, go find a dealership or an employer that will. I'm just asking you, just don't leave the auto industry, because they're just, I'm so grateful for the last 6 years and all of the success that we've had. It's been a great ride, and it's come with a lot of really hard days. There's no doubt about it. But I do know that my died tomorrow is that I at least made an impact or an imprint on the auto industry. And what else can you ask for?
I don't know. What else can you ask for?
That's right. So I guess we're on the slide of suggested resources. There are three books that, you know, I just wanted to, like, give you guys something to start with, right? And something that, you know, you can maybe read about or learn something from. Number one is Simon Sinek's TED Talk. Oh, my gosh. Have you ever seen it?
I mean, I watch TED Talks all the time. I don't know if I've seen this particular one, but I will go check it out.
Oh, it's fantastic. It's called Start With Why. And it's, what is your why? And it really tells the story of Apple Computer. I'm not going to get into it now, but you have to watch it. But what is your why? Everybody out there, why do you do what you do? Because you're going to spend 70% of your life, or 60%, I think this is the number, doing this. Enjoy it. What is your why? You know, take it and blow it up. Amy, I know you're on, so I'm going to say it. I know your why is because you're going to show every young girl out there that she can have an amazing career, and the sky is the limit. And so that's your why. And I love you. It's amazing. Number two, the book Delivering Happiness. Boy, that book means so much to me, by Tony Hsieh, the founder of Zappos. I got to meet them. I was speaking at a Cox Automotive event, and Jen Lim, the co-author, was there. She was speaking too. So they were walking me into the main stage, and I said, Delivering Happiness is here? I have to meet them. So long story, but you know, now they have some things on film, and because, you know, Tony said, God, I never thought a book that I wrote about Zappos would actually make it into the auto industry. And so you never know what your footprint's going to be and how that shoe book really changed the face of the Fiat brand and the face of the auto industry. You know, we were able to break a world record based on the principles of Delivering Happiness. So you never know, ladies and gentlemen, what you read and how it can inspire you. And then this one's an oldie but a goodie, but I made everybody read it. My managers go through it. I had a book club for a while. Some people out there would hate me as a GM, but it's timeless, right? It's Friends That Influence People by Dale Carnegie. Because at the end of the day, ladies and gentlemen, we are in the people business. We're not in the car business. We're in the people business. And don't ever forget that, because, you know, we have to work with people. We have to sell to people. We have to service people. And if you don't love people and know how to communicate with people, I'm going to recommend McDonald's. I hear that they're paying like $12 an hour now.
McDonald's
so, you know,
is getting beaten today on my webinar. I agree with you on that book. I love that book. I think I've read it like 6 or 7 times. I keep going back over it.
And it's so old school, right? I mean, like some of the stuff is like, this is from 1950s, I think, but it's
people are people.
Principles don't change.
Yeah,
right.
People are people.
Right. So, and then I guess, are we going to talk about our action items now?
Sure, go ahead.
Okay, I'm just not sure what my time is. This is my first webinar, everybody, that I have run through, so I hope I've done okay. I'm used to speaking live on stage. That's me being authentic with you and transparent. So I hope I've done okay. So I'm going to give you 4 action items that I think that you can walk away with now for your sales career or your management career or anybody else that happens to be on this webinar. I mean, my mother's probably on it, truth be known. So anyway.
What's your mom's name? I'll look her up.
Yes, Susan. Susan, yeah, you know how mothers are. They like to stalk their daughters. Anyway, action item 1 is to be authentic, right? I mean, you don't, God made you to be yourself, and you're perfect the way you are. But be authentic, be yourself. You don't need to be anybody else. Just make yourself really, really good, really excellent. Read books. Create a personal mission statement. You know, be the best you that you can be. And I promise you, that's better than you trying to be like anybody else. Number 2, don't be average, because mediocrity lives in the middle. Oh, my gosh, I can go on and on about this, but it just gets down to I am so over seeing kids getting participation trophies. It's like, hey, Johnny, you didn't win the soccer game. Why are they handing you a trophy? Back when I played soccer, you had to win the game to get the trophy. And I believe, and my co-author and I, Renee Bangelsdorf, she's one of the top private jet brokers in the world. But we really, what we have seen is that everybody wants to live in the middle. Everybody wants to do just enough. You have a sales floor that, as long as they sell 10 cars, they're happy. You know what? I started selling cars, and if you didn't sell 30, you weren't very good. And so what I have seen is the dumbing down of competition, even within the car business. And boy, I will tell you, I absolutely, every month, we run to be number 1 in the country. And number 2, it doesn't count. And I tell my guys, if we're number 2, we didn't do our best. And I think as a leader or somebody in the industry, do not apologize for wanting to win, because I don't want any participation trophies, and I don't think any of you should either. Wow, I got on a roll, didn't I? action item 3. Is say it out loud. World changers are not afraid of a challenge. And I think back to in 2011 when we opened the dealership, FCA sent out, I was in Detroit, and FCA did a film, and you guys can Google it, it's on YouTube. And we had not even been awarded the franchise yet, and they have a microphone in my face, and they said, well, what is your dream or your passion for, if you get awarded this franchise? And I said, we're going to be the number 1 dealer in the country. That's it. I mean, I don't want to do this to be number 2. And they said, but, you're in Austin, Texas. There's going to be bigger markets. L.A. will be awarded, and Miami and New York. And I said, I don't care. It doesn't matter. We want it. We want the franchise. We want to win, and we want to be number 1. And I'm going to say it out loud, because I know that if I say it to the universe, it's more likely to happen. Well, it happened. And then when we decided to go after the world sales record, and I had the late night bet with the CEO of Fiat at the time, and he said, you can't get to 100 cars. It's never been done. I said, it's going to be done, because I'm telling you it's going to be done. Put my name on it. I said it out loud. I made a really big bet with a really influential person, and we had no choice but to make it happen. So I want to encourage every one of you out there, what is it that you want so bad you can taste it? I want you to say it out loud, I want you to write it down, and then I want you to keep trying to get it until you actually get it. So in the words of Mae West, an ounce of performance is worth pounds of promises. Talk is cheap.
And you know what, Lisa, you didn't tell the other part of that story. You set out to get the record. You didn't get the record the first time you set out to get it, right?
I did not. We actually came up short, we came up short at 94 cars. And I called Tim Kaniskas back, and I said, I take that back. He called me, and he said, hey, congratulations, you're the number 1 dealer in the country. And I said, there is no congratulations. The, you know, we made a bet that we would break 100, then we would meet Mr. Marchione. And just because we're number one, we still didn't break the world sales record. I'm not happy. And he said, he goes, well, but you know, you're number one, da, 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 da. And I said, okay, I'll tell you what, give us one more month. One more month, and I promise you I will shut up about this, but it's in my being. I know we can get there. We came up a little short, but I know we can get there. And he said, okay, one more month. And so the day before sales closed, he called me and he says, well, you know, I was holding back reporting cars. And he said, well, how's it going to go? And I said, well, we're at 99, which we were really at 109, but I wasn't going to tell him that. We're at 99 and you need to tell Mr. Marchione to gas up the G5. He's coming to Texas. And I thought he about dropped the phone.
I love that story.
Yeah. You know, and everybody out there, what is your story? What is that goal that is so big that it keeps you up at night? Right? What is that goal, personally or professionally, that it keeps you awake at night trying to figure out how you're going to get there? It changed my life and it changed my career by making that one bet and then meeting Mr. Marchione, and I can just tell everybody out there that the rest is history. And it also showed a young sales team that anything is possible, that nobody can hold you back from success except for yourself. And tell me when I'm running out of time. I don't want to talk too much because I'm famous.
You are doing great. Don't worry about a thing.
What? I mean, like when I'm out speaking at things, sometimes they'll like turn off my microphone.
No, I'm upset I don't have like a crescendo behind you when you talk. Go ahead, keep going.
Okay. All right, so action item number 4 is take responsibility. The mediocre avoid confrontation. World changers own it. Boy, I mean, there's just, you know, do not live a life of excuses. Just like when I got the phone call from Kiniskis and he said, hey, but you know, you were still number one in the country at 94. I was like, no, we did not break the record. That was the goal. So nothing else but that one goal mattered to me. We could have been number one in the whole world and I wouldn't have cared because we didn't hit the goal. And I took the responsibility as the leader that we didn't get there. And then it gets down to confrontation. You know, the media, you're in the middle of something, in the middle of a goal or a fire. You know, don't back down. You know, if you're on the right track, if you're out there trying to do something, don't let other people tell you that you can't do it. I mean, people told me I was crazy about the sales record. I mean, Automotive News called me and they said Chrysler PR said that you've got a bet, and you know, and I said I do. And, you know, but, you know, and everybody said it can't be done. Like, what are you doing, Copeland? Like, you're telling the whole world and, you know, you're just going to be embarrassed. But you know what? I knew we could do it. I knew my team could do it. They were the best in the country, and we wanted it so bad we could taste it. So I always talk about where the mediocre live. You know, they're the people who like participation trophies. They're the people who live in the middle. They're the ones out not trying to crush sales records. Go out and crush it in your career, no matter what that looks like. Be a world changer. You know, you can change your world every single day. Be somebody who is successful and be somebody who's passionate. Be somebody who loves what you do. And I promise you, your life will change. It'll change forever. And it looks like now it's time for me to take some questions.
Goodness, that was so good, Lisa. Thank you so much. All right, audience, if you haven't gotten in your question yet for the amazing Lisa Copeland, now's your chance. Get those questions in because you know what? She's here and she's ready to listen what's going on in your life and she's here to help you crush it. All right, so let's get those questions in. Before we get to your questions, though, we got some business to take care of. That's right. It's that time. If you missed it at the beginning of the webinar, well, I announced that our good friends over at Crushing It Academy, they're giving away some really cool prizes today on the webinar. Lisa, you can get to that next slide whenever you can.
Oh,
first of all,
two of you
lucky webinar attendees are going to be winning a hashtag Crushing It t-shirt and hat. So you're going to get both. So two of you are going to get a hat and a t-shirt. I'm very excited.
And I just want to say we also have men's shirts. So we just put the women's one up, but men need to crush it too. So we have men's shirts and women's shirts. So whoever wins.
Nice. Okay. So What do you have to do to get this, right? That's right. You got to answer a simple question about the presentation that you just saw. So what I need you to do is get to your keyboards, get ready. Good luck, everyone. I'm going to ask you a question. First one to write in that correct response is going to win. And by the way, if you're a winner, I need your mailing address and your T-shirt size, men's or women's, all right? You let me know which one you are. All right.
Yeah, please.
No, seriously. I mean, if somebody wins and their name is Chris, I have no idea. Okay. So, all right, here we go. This is not going to be easy. This is not an easy one. All right.
Uh-oh.
It's not easy, so I hope you guys were taking good notes. All right, here's your first question. Name one of the four personal core values that Lisa talked about earlier on in the show. Now, it wasn't actually on a slide, but she mentioned it. She said you have to ask yourself four questions. Oh, my gosh, we have a winner. Oh, my gosh. Sarah Vantine, she said, what are you passionate about? That is correct. Congratulations, Sarah Vantine. You are already a winner today. I'm writing down your name. Sarah, I need you to write on in. Let me know what dealership you're from and what your mailing address is and your size. That is awesome. Yes, we were looking for passion, behavior, love, or motivation. So thank you so much, Sarah Vantine. You are already a winner today. You can sit this one out, and we're going to see if we can award couple of these other prizes. Sarah is from the Scott Clark Auto Group in Charlotte, North Carolina. Congratulations, Sarah. I'll be looking for your shirt size and your mailing address, so you send that on in whenever you can, okay? All right, audience, don't worry. We got another couple prizes to give away. Here we go. This is also for another T-shirt and hat. Good luck, everyone. This is an easy question, I think. All right. What's the title of the book that Lisa said she used to write the Fiat business case to Chrysler back in 2010? What is the name of the book? That's right, Carolina Shirley. You are the first person who wrote in Delivering Happiness. Congratulations, Carolina. All right.
Congratulations.
Carolina.
I'm so happy everyone was actually listening. I'm kind of excited.
I got to tell you, I want to go out and get that book. Oh, and Carolina says, yeah, first time winner.
You go, girl. I love that.
Good job, Carolina. So glad you won. Okay, Carolina, right on in. Let me know what dealership you're from, and don't forget to send me your mailing address, too. All right, Sarah and Carolina. You can sit this one out, my friends. You're already winners. We're still giving away one more prize. Go to that next slide if you wouldn't mind. That's right. We're giving away Lisa's new book. It's not even out yet, dudes. It's coming out this summer. And it's called Crushing Mediocrity. And
can I do a plug for the book real quick?
Absolutely.
So we are in full pre-sales on the book, and I'm not lying, it is so rich, it's amazing, and it really gives you 10 steps. It's a big book, but 10 ways to be able to take your life and your business to the next level. So you can get on our email list so that you can be the first ones out to get the book at crushingitacademy.com. That's crushingitacademy.com. Load up, get on our email list, and then you'll have one of the first copies of the book. Okay, that's my promo.
I love it. I love it. I love it. Okay.
I'm a car salesman.
No, you're Lisa. That I know.
Yep.
All right. Carolina, don't forget to write in your information. I still don't see it yet. Oh, here she goes. Carolina's from McCarthy Morse Chevrolet in Kansas. Nice. The heartland.
All right.
All right. Carolina and Sarah, sit this one out. All right, audience. It's your chance to win this cool book. I would like to win it. I'm not available to win it, so I'm counting on you. Let's see if you can crush this last question. What is the quote or mantra that Lisa told you to write down that explains her personal core belief when it comes to community involvement? We're looking for a quote. It was on the screen. She kept it up there for a while.
I might have even mentioned that you should write it down.
She did. She said, you better write this one down. It's a quote or mantra that explains her personal core belief when it comes to community involvement. Oh, here we go. Oh, my gosh. This is the first time for everything. It's not what you sell. It's what you stand for. That is right. Tamara Swatz, you are our third winner today. This is definitely a first. I've never had three female winners on one show.
I love it.
This is amazing. Tamara Swatz, I'm writing down your name. That's right. That was what she said. It isn't what you sell. It's what you stand for. Thank you so much. Congratulations, Tamara. Right on in. Let me know what dealership you're from and your mailing address. Sarah, Carolina, Tamara, congratulations to you three. You are all winners today. I couldn't be more happy for you guys. And don't worry. I know there's a lot of people who are disappointed they didn't get to win. It's okay. It's okay. We give away cool prizes every week. So come on back to another Dealer On webinar. And who knows? That could be your day to win a cool prize on a Dealer On webinar. Tamara, I don't know where you're from, but I know you've won before, but I'm looking forward. Oh, here she is. Tamara is from Legacy Toyota in Tallahassee, Florida. I love that it's Legacy. You were talking about Legacy, weren't you, Lisa?
I love that, too.
Isn't that great? All right, Tamara, congratulations. And we'll be getting those prizes out to you. They're going to come directly from our good friends over at Crushing It Academy. And like I said, everyone, come on back to another Dealer On webinar, and it could be your lucky day for winning a prize. Of course, we got to thank our good friends, Lisa Copeland and the other people at Crushing It Academy for giving out such cool prizes. And Lisa, if you're ready, we're going to get to those questions from the audience now. Are you ready?
I'm ready.
Oh, wait, before we do that, somebody said, what's the email to get the book?
Yes. So the email, it's www.crushingitacademy.com. Which right. You'll actually just sign up for an email list, and then you'll hear it as soon as – we already have several thousand people on it. As soon as the book is finished and published, then you will have first notification to be able to get it.
I love it. I love it. I want one.
Well, I'm going to give you an autographed one at Women in Automotive. Don't you worry about it.
Oh, my God. I'm so excited. All right. All right. Can I opt in here? No. I don't think so. No, we don't have it hooked up yet over through here, Stephanie, but I do appreciate I tried to enter my email on the site. Okay, Stephanie, we're going to take that offline and see if we can help you out. Okay, Stephanie? And by the way, audience, you can also download a copy of this deck. If you haven't done so already, check out the handouts section of the GoToWebinar interface, and in there you will see a PDF of this deck that you just saw earlier today. So you can download it directly from there, and we're going to get to your questions right now. Okay, first question came in kind of early from Stephanie, actually. And Stephanie wrote, I'm kind of disheartened by the fact that my last employer did not allow me an exit interview. They only allowed me a written exit survey and then didn't even respond to it in any way, shape, or form. Is this normal within a dealership with a poor culture? Or, I mean, Lisa, how do you do that at your dealership? Do you do an exit interview at all? Or
I do. I actually do one myself because I need to know. And that would be if somebody was leaving voluntarily. Obviously, if I was terminating them, it would be a different conversation, but there's still an exit interview. And then we actually send out a written survey after also, just in case. And we guarantee that it will be anonymous.
Interesting. Okay. So, Stephanie, I know you're not with that organization anymore, but I hope that gave you your answer. And certainly if you have a follow-up question, you know we're always here for you. We're helping everyone today learning how to crush it. Okay. Next question comes to you from Melinda. She says, I love this question. What's so bad about being mediocre anyway? Being average is okay, isn't it?
Melinda, you would never make it with working for me. You know what? I mean, it just depends on where. It's really safe and really easy to live in the middle. So, and guess what? 90% of the world does it. So who is it for me to say that you shouldn't do it? But I'll tell you what, I know the rock stars that are on this that take an hour out of their day to learn more and to get better. None of you are mediocre. All of you want to go to the next level, or you wouldn't have spent an hour with us. So that's it. Crush it.
Crush it. All right. Next question comes to you from from Brent. Brent says, what attributes do you look for in a great salesperson? Now, that's so funny because you said Melinda wouldn't cut it. So, but she kind of would, right?
I don't know if she would or not if she wants to live in the middle. But what I look for, number one, I look to make sure that they love people. You know, I look for a great disposition, a great attitude, a smile, to be teachable, to be trainable, to be authentic. I will hire that person with no automotive experience over hiring somebody who doesn't have those attributes and has been selling cars for 20 years.
Interesting.
So, because again, we're in the people business. We're not in the car business. We're in the people business.
So you're looking more for a personality trait than even experience.
Oh, absolutely. I mean, someone who has a great personality and who loves people, who's teachable and coachable, you can teach them how to sell cars. That's easy. But somebody, we want to create an experience. So I want that same sunny disposition to go over to our customers and to their coworkers.
Okay. Last few questions before we close out the show. This one comes in from Michael. Okay, I'm going to try and read this. Let me know if this makes sense. Your meetings conducted were almost in parity to mine 8 years ago. How did you cascade to all employees? What questions and statements from employees did you immediately address with or without management to act on? And how quickly did you act? Humbly, by cascading solutions immediately and following through on monitoring changes.
Wow, that's a big question. I totally know what he's saying. So I literally took all of the surveys home one night and I read them. And there might have been a bottle of wine involved. And I picked the top three things that I thought that we could tackle quickly. Because, again, you don't ask people to take a survey and then not take the actions to address the issues. So I went to my managers. I said, I'm not going to tell you who they said what about what, because, I said, but these are the top three action items that we need to jump on right away. And then I went back to everybody and I said, okay, guys, I read everything. And these are the three takeaways that I have right now that I feel like we can work on as a team. And I'm sorry. I'll just start there. But we're super committed to addressing your concerns and rebuilding our culture and selling a bunch of cars, just being authentic, transparent. Nobody wants to read about themselves when it's not positive. I mean, that's hard to do. And if I didn't, I don't know if I mentioned or not, but there was a bottle of wine involved that night, and I probably drank the entire bottle. It's hard to look in the mirror sometimes, Michael. It really is, But I think that's how we grow as leaders, that we look, because it's so easy to go out there in front of everybody and lead. But if you don't look back and you don't measure what your success is within your teams, I think that's how great leaders become not great anymore, And so it was hard. It was hard for me. It was a hard pill to swallow. But I think that I'm a better person and a better leader because of it.
I love it. All right, Michael. If you have follow-up question, hurry up and get it in. And we are getting down the last three questions. Okay, your next question, Lisa, comes in from Christy. Christy says, okay, why should I care so much about leaving a legacy at work?
Ooh, I love that. I think that's a great question. So, Christy, here's what I have to say to that question. Whether you leave the legacy, because you want to leave a legacy of excellence, right? Whether you're moving up to the next position or you're moving, critical that you do everything to the best of your ability, to the most excellent of your ability, and then that way nothing will hold you back from what it is that you really want to go do, right? I mean, when your next employer calls, you want people to miss you when you're. I tell my sales managers all the time, I'm like, guys, if I got hit by a truck tomorrow, I just hope that you'll miss me when I'm gone. It's a me thing, but so I think that just leaving that legacy of excellence and, leaving the right way, car people like to blow out, leave the right way, have the right conversations, clean up your messes, and do a great handoff to the next person. I think it's critical.
Okay. Christy, I hope that helped you out. If you have a follow-up question, hey, send it on in. All right. Oh, this is exactly what I was talking about earlier, Lisa. This one comes in from Tony. Tony says, it seems like I may be losing my passion for the car business. Do you have any suggestions?
Yeah, I think that you've got to go back to what drove you originally to get in it. And if it really is just a job, I really want to encourage you, Tony, to watch Simon Sinek's video, the TED Talk, because it starts with your why. What is your why? And I think that you need to really go and see why you do what you do. And if it's just for a paycheck, if it isn't because you love the industry and that you love people and that you really see a career path, I'm going to recommend you probably go do something different that you would love to do. Someone asked me a long time ago, Lisa, what is it you would do if you didn't get a paycheck? And I said, exactly what I'm doing. And that's just the best advice. And you know, I'm not Pollyanna here. I mean, the car business is not for everybody. It really isn't.
All right. Tony, I hope that helps you out. And we did hear from one of our attendees, David. He says, I think that your legacy is more than just where you work. It is who you are all the time.
I agree 1,000,000%. I just I only had a 45-minute webinar, but I do I agree 1,000,000% with you, and I think it's something that we have to work on continually. And I'm just going to put it, nobody's perfect. Everybody makes mistakes. It's just how you recover from those mistakes, and we actually talk about that in the book. How do you recover, you know? How do you dust off and move forward? That's what defines your legacy. You know, again, it's not your end-of-life story. It's your everyday story. So thank you, and thank you for thinking that deep into it.
I love it. Okay, last question, unless somebody else sneaks another question in. Last question comes from one of today's winners, Sarah. She says, what advice do you have for helping your employees find their own personal core values while also incorporating them into your culture? Great question, Sarah.
Oh, wow, Sarah.
I know, she's totally putting you on the spot now.
No. I like that. I like that. You know, so we have a chief happiness officer here, a CHO. You can look
on
our website and
what?
See that.
I want to be a chief happiness officer.
I stole it from Campbell's. But, and her job is not to listen to everybody's things, but it's really just to celebrate. It's to celebrate people's successes and birthdays and just kind of moving forward. And, you know, I think that you have to do the exercise. And, Sarah, if you want to contact me offline, because I just love you, like you and Amy and some of these other gals around the country, you got to write it down. What is it that motivates you? Why do you do what you do? You know, and would you do it if you didn't get a paycheck? And if you wouldn't, I think you have to go back and figure out if you're working for the right place or if you're in the right career path, you know, sales or whatever, service. And so, I really try to get to know my employees. I try to get to know what's important to them, but I can't get to know everybody, right? It's a big organization. So I just try to keep things in front of them that I allow them to get involved with. Like, we had a great party here the other night for Rock Your Red. It's the entree party into the Go Red Summit. You know, and just to try to, you know, put out a bunch of different things out there that we do as an organization, and maybe they'll grab one piece of it. Not, that's probably not a great answer, Sarah, but you're more than welcome to reach out to me, sweetie.
And I'm just curious, does anyone else out there work at a dealership where they have a chief happiness officer? Anyone? Yeah, I think, Lisa, you might be the only one in the whole country. And for that, as well as this amazing presentation, I just want you to know David wrote in, you're great. Denio wrote in, great content, Lisa, and Stephanie wrote in, you are amazing. So,
thank you, everybody.
And Amy wrote in, I want a happiness officer. Amazing. Thank you so much. All right, Lisa, I'm going to have to let you go, and I don't want to. Thank you so much for being here today. I'm so looking forward to seeing you speak at NADA. Oh, I'll tell people all about that again. But this webinar is going to conclude in just a moment, and when it does, you're going to get a short survey. It is 6 questions. But you know what? I want you guys all to respond to the survey and let me know what you thought of today's presentation. We got to let – I mean, Lisa loves reading – stuff about herself. So give her your honest feedback, okay? So let's find out what you thought about today's presentation, because we want inquiring minds want to know. And this link to this recording is going to be sent out to you a little bit later on tonight. So when you get it, hey, please feel free to share it with your friends and colleagues. It was wonderful. And you can also find this recording on the Dealer On website. Just go to dealeron.com/webinar. And from there, you can view our upcoming webinar schedule or access any of our past webinars, too. And Lisa, you can fast forward a couple slides if you don't mind.
Oh,
I got to tell people that you're going to be presenting at an NADA panel with none other than Jody DeVere, Joni Stuker, Sherry Waters, and Craig Lockard. And they're going to be discussing how to create a culture to win with women. You don't want to miss that. So make sure you catch them in action. That's going to be great. I'm definitely going to stop in and see that as well. And yeah, DealerOn's also going to be at the upcoming NADA convention in Las Vegas. It's the end of March, beginning of April. So if you're going to be there, please stop by booth 6626N. We have a great booth, great culture. I know you like that, Lisa. And you're not going to want to miss it. I'm going to be there. I'd love to see you. We're also hosting a karaoke contest on one of the evenings. So if you want to register for that, you got to go to DealerOn.com to register for that. The space is very limited, and we're going to be giving out prizes for karaoke. You got it. While you're getting your NAD on, please check out the speaking sessions from these amazing Dealer On executives. And invitations will be going out tomorrow for our next Dealer On webinar, how to successfully DIY your live chat. Now, many dealers agree that the convenience and support that live chat provides to online shoppers is simply invaluable, and when done properly, easily drives serious car buyers into the showroom. However, they've also found that managing live chat at the dealership can be full of missteps and lost sales opportunities. Not to mention, it can get costly if you don't have the right tools, people scheduling, and business processes to engage web visitors and move them further down the purchase funnel. Well, what if I told you that you could successfully manage live chat in-house and maximize the results? Would you do it? In this one-hour webinar, Todd Smith, CEO of ActiveEngage, is going to help dealers maximize their live chat for themselves. He's going to discuss all the tools that you need to succeed at live chat so you can increase your bottom line. Are you ready to connect with more online shoppers through live chat and drive them into your showroom? Well, you can't afford to miss this webinar then, so register now. And don't forget, DealerOn's weekly webinars are held Thursdays at 12 noon Eastern, 11 a.m. Central, 10 a.m. Mountain, and 9 a.m. Pacific. We have some awesome webinar subjects planned for 2016, but if you have any questions, comments, or suggestions, hey, reach out to me directly. I'd love to hear from you. I'm everywhere. I'm on Facebook, Twitter, Google+, you name it. I'm on all the automotive social networks. Or you can just track me down online or email me directly at Eliana@dealeron.com.